Appreciate that. Now, I guess I wasn't part of this process, so I'll maybe ask Greg on this one. Was there a similar clause somewhere, even though there was no name on it, whatever, for Bailey's, that it would be a two-year period, in which case it's assumed after the 2 years? Do we have something like that for Craigmore?
Same thing. It's the same thing.
And
same clause.
So when did that click in? As of now or from the last year?
From last year. So their due date is spring of 2024, so May of 2024.
Okay. And they were all made aware of that?
Yes.
Okay. Councilor Peckin?
So you mentioned there were 39 properties?
Yes.
In the previous, this is 9th of February 2020, then it said the total number of properties with a tax roll number is 36, not the 35 as in the previous note. So maybe just to confirm.
I think we did check, and I and Carly, we checked it, and we realized there's 39 properties on that.
Okay.
Did we clarify that before, too? I thought it was, but I'm just forgetting. If these particular people sell the property, the ones who owe the debt, does the new owner have to pay it, or how does that work?
So normally, on their property information, the tax bill, we put a note that there was an upgrade was done in this division, and the property owner supposed to pay the amount, XY amount, and option the property owner selected, and how much amount he needs to pay. So if the new owner receive the tax certificate, that will tell the new owner of that what the upgrades were done in that area and how much amount they need.
I'm just wondering what the process itself. I mean, would a real estate agent be able to pass that along to somebody interested in buying that? Oh, there's a debt on this property.
Normally, before the selling a property, the process is the normal lawyer will ask us the tax certificate, and that tax certificate will tell the any outstanding amount and plus any upgrades done or the amount related to the upgrades will tell in this tax certificate.
Okay, so it's all covered then, the new owner knows.
And I think the Municipal Act also says if there's any upgrades, then there's a lien against the property too. So if anything happened to the property, then we are covered by the Municipal Act too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Any other questions? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-610, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the 2023 Aquatic Environment Report for the Manitowoc Lake from the Georgian Bay Nindugami Biosphere for information purposes. Discussion? I just find with that report, I mean, it's detailed, yes, very colorful. Looks expensive. I'm not sure if it is or not, but the reproduction here would cost, certainly. And I'm wondering, there are places where it gets a little repetitive, so I'm just wondering if this organization maybe could, I don't know, reduce it somewhat, that it's not coming up. I know we've had this now a couple times this year, and one time we got it two or three times. It must cost a fair bit to photocopy for everybody as well. I'm not sure where it's filed even. I don't know whether that could be passed on. I'm not sure of the cost of producing this document, but it looks fairly expensive. The other thing that I'm looking at, and I don't know, is Jennifer still online?
No.
No? No, okay. A lot of the things that they're actually reporting on, there hasn't been a great change over the years. And they still suggest in there that the the reports continue, the studies continue, at a cost, of course, even though it's a volunteer from the Manitowoc and Lake Community Association and the environmental organization, but I'm just wondering, is there a particular time we should be, you know, stop testing, or do you just keep testing forever? I don't know. We can't answer it. I know that. And they want a record, I think, to see how it's changing over the years. But we ran into the same thing with our transfer station. When it was converted from the landfill to the transfer, it was through Azimuth Engineering. I think they were doing studies on a regular basis over the years to see if there's any leakage into Lake Manitowoc. I think the studies are probably still ongoing. And I just wonder, at some point, do those studies stop? I don't know. Rhetorical. I don't have answers. Councillor Keckman.
I think this is helpful to just be able to chart, you know, if there's any variations, particularly when it seems to indicate that Manitowoc being in the case of the phosphorus levels is in good health. You know, so then that helps any future discussions on implementing any strategies, you know, whether they're necessary or not. So I think that this data is actually quite useful. The lake-wide mean total phosphorus concentration is 11.5 micrograms per liter. This indicates that Manitowoc Lake is at the lower end of the mesotrophic range. Lakes that are below 10 are considered to be oligotrophic. The bottom line with respect to phosphorus is that the concentrations are similar throughout the lake and consistent between years. Shows that the phosphorus concentrations have not increased since 2001 and are similar between sample stations. So I think this is quite helpful just to verify that. And it goes on to conclude that there's no sign of deterioration over the years in water quality with respect to phosphorus.
And I think the conclusions are positive, you're right. I just wonder, you know, at what point is there a limit? You just do it year after year and producing the same results, which is good, positive results. So. Okay, call the question. All those in favor? I'm opposed, carried. To winter maintenance, resolution 23-611, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Keckman. Be it resolved that in addition to the winter maintenance presently provided, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby agree to provide winter maintenance, the nature and extent of which will be determined by the Director of Operations and Council for the municipally owned roads and distances attached in Schedule A for the winter season 2023-2024 only, and have permanent residents residing thereon on a year-round basis as determined by the clerk administrator. If these conditions do not exist at the time of winter plowing, then the Township of McKellar will not provide winter maintenance on said roads. Council, in consultation with Township staff, will review said roads in the spring of 2024 to determine the feasibility of continuing this program. It's understood that Council is under no obligation to continue the program. It's further understood there's no obligation on Council to convert a municipally owned, seasonally maintained road to a year-round maintained road, nor is there any obligation on Council to assume presently unassumed municipally owned roads. Council, at its sole discretion, will provide maintenance on the roads named in Schedule A as Council determines based on maintenance needs and the Township of McKellar's financial capabilities. As presently, there will be no municipal maintenance provided to fire routes unless on a municipal road allowance opened at the sole discretion of the municipality on its own volition without any request from an outside source. Private roads, streets, avenues, roads, drives, crescents, circles, laneways, driveways, municipal road allowances opened by private individuals, nor for any other roads which do not appear in Schedule A. And Schedule A to Resolution 23-611 reads, municipally owned roads to be winter maintained by the Township of McKellar for the winter season 2023-2024 only, providing that conditions in the attached resolution are met. Bay Drive, Braemar Boulevard, Brownlee Road, Craigmore Drive, Deerfield Road, Fire Route 200, Broadbent Colonial Road, 0.2 kilometers from the distance presently winter maintained. Fire Route 152, Fire Route 152A, Fire Route 152B, Jones's Road, Lakeview Crescent, McCord's Road, McEwen Road, 0.1 kilometer beyond the distance presently winter maintained. Moffett Road, entire, both wings. West Road, 1.7 kilometers beyond the distance presently winter maintained. Discussion. Councilor Keck. A
couple of roads that I don't know if they belong on this list. Jones Road, isn't that township assumed road?
Jones Road, we're summer meetings.
The entire Jones Road? Or
so historically, there is a section, a back portion of Jones Road. It's technically a summer maintained road. So now it's just says we can plow it.
McCord's Road. I'm not sure why that's on there.
I guess historically it was the same way at one time. It was summer maintained, but it was always on Schedule A roads.
Yeah, I think that that was due to maybe. Maybe not understanding that it was established as a public highway in 1891 with bylaw number 12. So it's one of the early roads that was assumed by the township. I don't believe that I have never found anything to indicate that it's being stopped up and closed or discontinued as a established public highway. So I just believe that should not be on this list. It's a township assumed road.
So that's a fully, so that's a township fully assumed road?
Yes, bylaw 12, May 9th, 1891.
Standards were a little different then.
if the it was never stopped up and closed as a public highway.
Yeah. And I'm thinking probably this stems from the fact that there always was a summer maintained sign at the beginning of the road. Leading into it, as far as I can think back anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's still there or not. I haven't been in there recently to see if it still says summer maintained on it. I know you put up some summer maintained signs.
Mm-hmm.
So does it still say that at the courts or is it not?
It is an old sign there, and I think it's probably almost fallen down by now. The old yellow, you know.
I don't even think there is that sign, but the question is, should that sign even be there?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Probably why it showed up here. So that's our discussion, whether we cross this off this list. Yeah, that sounds like the original sign you mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you said it was by lot 12?
Yeah, it's right there.
1891, okay.
So council agreeable to take that off the list?
Because it's maintained anyway, so.
No, what we're trying to do is distinguish, I think, between seasonally maintained. Because what tends to happen is you start to plow it, which we did over a decade ago, and then people think, well, it's a year-round maintained now. And it really isn't. It's just summer maintenance with a resolution to keep it plowed over the winter. And over time, if you don't distinguish, now council can certainly take the step that the summer maintained can become a year-round maintained. But if you look at our road policy, at that point, then the people on that summer maintained have to pay a price. It's not just something the township does unless they're going to do it for free, but it's usually something that the people themselves ask for or the township agrees to do. And there are a certain number of roads, for instance, on Brownlee, there should be a distance on there because people in at the end of Brownlee think, well, you're going to plow all my road, okay. So there is a distance that should be attached to this Schedule A. And it usually was just before you get to the Y there at Mark Hamill's place, was that's where the summer maintained sign went up. And then we plowed into Monroe's, another 0.6 kilometers, I think it was. So what I'd suggested for Brownlee was just 0.6 kilometers from the year round. And it's 0.6 kilometers on the summer maintained road, that's how it's described, rather than from where it's presently plowed, because that gets a little confusing when you start to say that, because presently it's plowed right through the bullet.
Yeah.
So we should maybe say 0.6 kilometers from the year summer maintained from where it's plowed year-round presently. So just a wording so that we can distinguish. And I'm thinking that for most of them. Jones's Road, as Councillor Kekkonen mentioned, maybe it should give an actual distance, 0.8 kilometers from the year-round on the summer-maintained portion, because I don't think yet that the township has taken that on as fully maintained all the way in. And McEwen Road, we've got 0.1 kilometers, and I'm wondering if that could be changed again from the year-round on the summer-maintained portion, rather than distant presently winter-maintained. It's just the wording, but it worked in the past, but it gets a little confusing when you are maintaining it. And West Road, 1.7 kilometers from the year-round on the summer-maintained portion. There might be some question on that one because it was plowed years ago and then upgraded. But then there were no people living in there, so it wasn't plowed for a period of time. Same with Grayall, it wasn't plowed for a couple of years because nobody lived in there. So I'm just wondering about the rewording of some of those. As long as that's understood, I don't think it's a major change to the resolution. I think it should satisfy those people who are worried about the township plowing their roads, in particular 152A, 152B, Deerfield and Bay. We haven't heard much from the others. But until they're actually assumed, I think they have to be on this list.
Yep.
So they're unassumed, municipally owned roads. Excluding the court, that's off our list. I'll need to take care of it. And hopefully we can get all this resolved with the seasonal roads as well, because over time it gets a little confusing, I guess, what isn't fully maintained year-round. The Fox Farm Road comes to mind. I'm always interested in that one. How far do you plow now?
Regimenters.
Right. But from there on into the bottom of the hill, starting up into the Fox Farm area, it's still a township road, right? Summer maintained? And you've done an awful lot of work in there, ditching and that looks good. Are you preparing for winter maintained? Or?
Not really. It's just it's mainly right now is the spring and fall time of the year. The road really took a lot of beating, so we kind of eliminated a lot of that.
Yeah.
Just by ditching it and putting some new culverts in.
So those people in beyond, how is it being plowed for those people? Are they are some of them in the Fox Farm? Are they still doing?
Mm-hmm.
They're on private then? Okay.
Yes.
Councilor Zulak, looks like you had a question.
No.
I'm going to leave that with you.
Yeah. Do you know,
but we can still.
The building after?
Yeah.
We're agreeing to this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless there are questions for council.
Okay.
And just for clarification, too, on Moffat Road, there was always a concern on the right-hand branch there. That's all taken care of?
Yes, so the individuals in there put a turnaround in at the end of that now, so we can go in and plow it for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, that was never deeded to the township as such, it's just they prepared it?
So it's the road allowance, it's right on the road allowance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was no going off it, it was just on our allowance.
Okay, call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Plus items, dishwasher, refrigerator. And resolution 23-612, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Haskin, where a staff approached the Herdville Community Club to inquire about a donation of the surplus community center kitchen refrigerator and dishwasher. Whereas the Herdville Community Club respectfully declined the donation as it would not be feasible with their current setup. And whereas the appliances require parts to become operational and the expense of doing so is considerable. Now therefore be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby direct the Director of Operations to recycle the surplus appliances. Discussion?
That's about all we're good for, I guess.
We got rid of them, like, there was a reason we had to replace them, so.
Right. Yeah. But you're not using the parts from the old for the new, they don't fit? Okay. Councilor Zulai?
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Because I thought you had mentioned that before.
Well, the stainless approaches to each side of the dishwasher, we were able to reuse those. That was the reusable parts by buying that dishwasher. If not, we would have to replace all the stainless. By buying that particular brand, we were able to stay with.
Can I ask a question about the dishwasher?
Yeah.
So that you got the heating part of it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So does it heat all the time, or does it pull from our hot water tank?
Nope, it heats. It pulls its own hot. It makes its own hot water.
And it's on continually.
So it uses our hot water, but it heats to the 150 degrees. That requires for disinfecting.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It has its own heater. Booster heater. It has its own booster heater.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any further questions? I guess along with that one, maybe it's another topic for later. The other appliances in there? You talked about some of the others. That you talked about a stand-up freezer.
Yeah,
maybe looking at that and then upgrading the large fridge in the bar portion too. That's pretty old, I think, eh? Or is
that
the one we just replaced?
That's
the one we just did, okay.
Yeah. But I thought there was another one, the stove.
The stove. The stove and the deep freeze was the main two that were left, I think, as far as appliances go. Yeah. I'll be getting some more prices on both of those. Laws are still working, there's not a real big priority right now. But I'll still work on those prices.
Okay, any further questions? Call the question?
I just have a question. I don't know if I should ask it now. It's not even about that, but about Greg's here. I'm just curious, Greg, have you done anything more with the railing going down?
Not yet, no.
But you'll have that for winter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that my contractor, my construction company, whatever, that builds them is too busy. So now I have to go elsewhere. So I'm going to go talk to Thompson and Magnano to see where they got their railings from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, call the question. Almost a favor. Not opposed. Carried. Resolution 23-613, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby permit the use of the Council Chambers for special events by way of a resolution from Council, and further that interested parties wishing to utilize the Council Chambers may submit a request to the Clerk Administrator to be added on a regular meeting of Council agenda. Discussion? Councillor Zulak?
So, when we did we not pass a motion before that the council chambers were not to be used? And did it say in there anything about submitting a request to the clerk administrator to be put on the council agenda?
I don't recall that it ever said anything about a request being put on the agenda, but I do recall we did at one time say no, that council had agreed that no.
So I'm just curious as to... fall fair.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good question.
The fall fair. So no one came to the office and requested to use up the chambers?
Mm-hmm.
And no one seen them setting up anything in here?
They were quick.
Well, that's a concern because, as you say, we can't have a double standard here. And it's essentially the same function. People were coming and going, and they had different events. And certainly, we turned down for the market because of what had happened previously, but the Agricultural Society used it. I don't think there were any reports of any damage afterwards. Were there? I don't know.
No, we've never received anything.
And I think it might have come back to Councillor Haskam's suggestion that that area be roped off. I'm not sure exactly what was done on fair day.
I didn't come. I was here all day, but no, I didn't come in the council chambers.
The AV equipment was just pushed to the side, and no damage was found.
So I guess the question then, the request is a standing request for the Christmas market November 18th, is it? And I think it was for 6 vendors. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we, because I don't think there were that many here, although there were people, they had tables like set across, you had to go out and around. I'm wondering if an accommodation could be made such that maybe 6 is too many, and that it could be reduced, the number. But I'm just wondering, I don't know how much space is required. We've got somebody here who can speak to it. Whether 6 crowding in here and keeping our equipment where it is too many, whether it should be reduced, or I know you're used to putting paint on it, but I don't want that.
I just wanted to comment. When we had that discussion before, part of the problem with the market is that everything here, other than the electronic equipment that can't be moved, all of this stuff has to be moved, and there's nowhere for it to go. It all gets crammed in our office, and we're jumping over chairs and tables, etc., etc. Plus, we're taking the people from Public Works and from our office to have to move this stuff back and forth.
So essentially, they're not the same function because the agricultural used these tables. They didn't move them.
They did use these tables.
Correct. Okay, that's the difference, Councillor Decker.
So, did any councillor see how it was set up here?
Yeah.
So, from what I've seen, there was tables right across like that,
mm-hmm.
and they were only using that back corner. They weren't using anything beyond that demarcation.
When all the kids were doing
things. No, when
like
I came
here.
In, there was kids sitting here.
Yeah. There were kids there?
Doing crafts or something.
Oh,
there was yeah, there was people there. Like, this was still here, I believe.
This
yeah.
was never moved.
Yeah, this was all still here, and there were people working on this here. And like you say, there was a table across the back there.
Yeah.
I just came in to take a peek at what was going on because I knew that we weren't supposed to be using the council chambers.
Yeah. And moving the chairs, that's not as much of an issue as trying to move the council table and stuff. If there's somewhere they can work around that.
So can these tables come apart, though?
They do come apart.
So can they be up at one end of the room as opposed to try to throw them into the office? And that's what I say, you limit the number of vendors there?
It would have to limit the number of vendors, but if that was agreeable, yeah, we could stick all of this stuff into the one corner. It would probably limit one or two vendors to the room.
Can I speak?
Yes.
So, typically, like Zina said, that the tables, is this thing on?
Yeah.
Yep.
Typically, the council tables wasn't used as part of the market there. So, since Jan had taken over the market and we started doing the Christmas market, I would volunteer to come in and disassemble the council table, and we would stick it in this room right here.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I would take that, after the market was over, I would take it out and reassemble. And that was all done on the side of
it. It couldn't have been.
Yes, it was.
Because you don't have access to that room. You can't. It's a lock set by alarm. You couldn't have had access to that room on a Saturday.
I'm sorry, Ina. We had permission on Friday night to come in, disassemble the table, put it in there. Once the market was over, I had permission to take it out of there and reassemble it.
Right.
And that's what happened for almost 7 years. So that's what happened when I did it. Last year, I was told I couldn't not touch this anymore. So this is why Greg's staff got involved and taking it down. So I volunteered for 7 years of taking the table down, putting it away, and then reassembling after that. So to speak how much room we used in the council here before the electronic equipment was put up. We had three vendors along that side, and we had four vendors along this side, so a total of seven vendors in this room. So taking into account that now we've got this electronic stuff in here, Jan is more than willing to work around that to reduce the number that would be allowed in here, and that would have to be decided on what you would see feasible, but I still could see four and maybe one in the corner there, possibly five in here, but that would be up to your discretion what you would allow or not allow. But
now the question is, I don't know what's in that room right now, so is there room to...
There isn't now. There's less room in there now because all of our filing system had to be moved into that room. Plus, we've had the cabinets rebuilt as well. So now we basically have walk-around room. Even when we're pulling out files on this side of the cabinet, we're up against the wall pulling those cabinets out, the drawers out.
So since we're here, can we open that
we
door?
We can take a look.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that would be good enough for I'll have a look as well.
So you mentioned the other options is piling in the corner so that this reduces that space there.
Right.
Or moving that over so it's reducing it over so we wouldn't have to really disassemble it. It would just be moved over to that location. The other option is, we did it in the past, is we had the church group set up on a portion of that table or used a portion of that as to set the bakewares and stuff like that.
That's what I wondered, if some of the vendors could actually use this. I mean, as part of, you know, their sales, could they actually use it as a display area?
Yeah, so that would be some discussion, whether you would allow that or not. I don't know if that's an option. So.
Yeah. Councilor Zulak first.
I was just going to say, when I was on historical, we had set up back there.
Yes.
And had, like, butter tarts or something on there at the market for those things.
No, like, we're more than willing to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jan's more than willing to work with you. It's
totally
your council chambers and your decision what you want to do and how you want to move forward. But as you've already mentioned, like, we just want to be treated fairly, or Jan wants to be treated fairly, and the market wants to be treated fairly. And if there's not access to it, then we'll make other arrangements to accommodate vendors, that's all.
Yeah. Councilor Kagan?
So part of the table could be used as a natural buffer in front of the electronic so that you're not losing space here, but you're using it in a practical manner to create a buffer so that the electronic equipment doesn't have to be moved.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking of take these apart. It's not that complicated, just along that side. It's going to extend out. That'll limit the number. It's almost a narrow passageway for people coming in as well, so... you can't be disruptive and go over that way. I think it would work as a good block all along that one wall. That's why I suggested five. You might be down to four vendors, but it gives you other parts of the room you can use.
I'm sure those four vendors would appreciate that as being outside. So,
So we could probably almost leave it at Rob's discretion that the table isn't going in that room, which I can see is impossible by the looks of it. So... at Rob's discretion to move the table to where he wants, ensure that the equipment is protected, whether it be a table or not. If a table went there, vendors may be able to use it, but I would be agreeable to that.
That's a viable option to move that way. And it might
It
might cut it down to four or five vendors, but at least then it's not disrupting the office flow, and it's protecting the electronic equipment.
Rob must be really happy with us not having to move this all into that room. There must be something inside to say, thank you, council.
Like as I said, we're more than willing to work with council and stuff like that. So like, as before, we had these old rickety tables that we had to drag away all from the other side, bring it over here. We basically been telling vendors now we don't provide tables anymore. You provide your own equipment or your own tables and stuff like that too. I would sooner stay away from telling vendors that they're going to have a table available to them when we're telling everybody else to bring their own equipment, right? So
Now, do they get a choice of whether they want to be over here or in the main hall, or
Jan plans all that out, so it's usually they're designed around who's going to be what you don't want to what people beside each other or two candidate people beside each other or whatever else. So she kind of spaces them all out so that figures out those logistics. Leaves that stuff to her, I guess.
Yeah, because I think looking at the dimensions of the room, that might determine too who comes over here and who can be accommodated in the space that's here. Yeah.
Perfect.
Got enough information? Okay, the way this reads, and it's like an application, so I have to say it's been probably informal up to this point.
No, Jan.
It's been a written
vendor agreement. No, a facility agreement yearly to get use of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
use
so
of
it's all
the use of
yeah,
the hall, use of everything else. So
okay.
She goes through that. So imagine she just keeps applying on that facility agreement, and it goes through that process, I would assume. I don't know.
That sounds good. And just that she'll have to be reminded that it's limited, that you're not going to get seven in here.
But I think we had that discussion before I came over tonight. So.
Yeah. Councilor Pecker?
So the facilities agreement, one of the options is renting the council chambers?
It's not on the agreement. We've never had the council chambers on the agreement.
So that's not...
So that's something that I'm in Jan or and we have to work with, I guess.
So this motion is still applicable then?
Yeah, I still have to amend.
For future events as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good. Any further questions on this?
No, I think that's all good.
Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Then resolution 23-614, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Haspin. Whereas staff have identified vehicular traffic traveling through the pavilion at Minerva Park, and whereas the engineered pad of the pavilion was not designed for that purpose, and whereas if the structural integrity of the pavilion were to be compromised from vehicular traffic traveling through the pavilion, the township would be held liable. Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby restrict vehicular traffic traveling through the pavilion. Discussion? Maybe Rob might want to speak to that too. I think just for clarification, where all this started.
So clarification when this started, I'm going to have to think through my memory bank. So I think going back in 2017, I think that was the discussion when the gazebo was going to be built. I think it was in 2017.
Rely on previous councillors to help.
Yeah. So in 2017, prior to 2017, when Jan took over looking after the market, she was approached by vendors, or she inherited stuff from vendors, I guess, that from the previous market managers and stuff like that, practices that were done at that time. So practices that were done at that time were people would, because it was a smaller market, people would drive into the market, onto the fair, or onto the market grounds, you know, type deal, and more or less have their vehicles there and set up beside their vehicles or in front of their vehicles or behind their vehicles or whatever. So that was a kind of like a past practices. So when Jan took over the market, and Jan being a stickler for details and keeping things moving ahead, she had approached the she had approached the, what was her name?
Tammy. Tammy Wiley?
What was her name?
Tammy Wiley?
No, before that. She left and went to London.
Oh, Sherry?
Sherry, Grisdale. She had approached Sherry Grisdale and asked questions to Sherry, what would be allowed and what wouldn't be allowed into the park. So Sherry would say, well, we continue on with your practices of having people driving into the park and set up. So as the markets continued to grow, Jana made resolutions of what would be acceptable, what wouldn't be acceptable, and basically just having the outside people would be having their vehicles behind their kind of tents, you know, stuff like that. So when the gazebo was starting to be planned, and I think that was 2016 or 2017, when, if I remember, is right there. There was discussions of having the gazebo in the center of the whole parking area as opposed to one side. And Jan was kind of opposed to that and asked Mayor and Council if it could be moved to the one side. So there was a meeting on that particular day with the people that got the contracts. I don't know if you were down there, Greg, or not. I think Greg was down there. And I can't share Risdale. Peter Hopkins was there. But anyways, long story short, it was decided that they could move the gazebo over to the one side. When we had set up the basically the horseshoe of where people could drive in and out, I can't remember who had made the comment, but we basically had said that we had to provide access for emergency purposes, you know, type deal, in case something happened inside the park, so we'd have to keep lanes open. And Jan said, well, you know, with the gazebo going over there, is there going to be issues of, because of the horseshoe going around? And it wasn't anybody from the township that made the comment. It was built, basically the building, the guys who had the contract says, well, we're going to engineer a building here, you can drive a transport truck through, you know, type deal. And we kind of said, okay. But at the point in time is, Jan being a stickler for details and stuff like that, got permission from Sharon Risdale to continue to access through the center of that to continue that horseshoe around. So we've been doing that practice since 2018, I believe, when that gazebo had gone up. So that was, had been something. So, like, again, if there was something that should have been brought to our attention or something that the township felt uncomfortable, is maybe that these discussions should have taken place and we address it in a different manner here, you know, type deal. So, but long story short is, again, facility is there. Guys got a concern of some safety issues and stuff like that. We're not opposed to trying to make something else work to facilitate having the market remain where it is. I know this summer, because of the weather conditions we had in August, we had basically shut people from going through the pavilion down at least 3 weekends, so they couldn't drive through the pavilion because we were concerned, just like you were concerned, of safety issues of people driving up there, slippery conditions, and people not being able to maneuver through the thing. So we had shut it down for 3 weekends in a row for people so that they couldn't drive through the pavilion, and they had to go out and around and access the markets through another way. But usually when this happens, when the market is setting up and being tore down, it's early in the morning and it's late in the afternoon. There's no pedestrians going through the pavilion at that time. It's basically just people that are setting up and people that are volunteering or working the market. They're there at that time. Safety issues and stuff like that. Traffic is fairly slow that goes in and out of the market. As Nick Bryland has commented in one of his statements, there he is, like, the vehicles go through there at a snail's pace, and also it would be almost a bit of an impediment if we couldn't allow people into the park with vehicles, you know, take deal, because of all the heavy products and stuff like that, like people are bringing into the market. So, but again, that's, I understand where you're coming from, what your issues are, and your safety concerns, stuff like that. If it's something that needs to be changed or new practices put in, then it's something that I'm more than willing to work with.
I think we just need a little clarification on what our CBO was saying. Just, there are other options, certainly, from going through the pavilion.
Yep.
You can certainly go around. I mean, I know they set up the tents and that very, very close now, but
yep.
there is an option of going around.
So there's a, right beside the pavilion, there's probably 15, 20 feet over. Greg has either left the parking barriers for that purpose for people to drive through there, but that's typically where the majority of the vendors go, is down that route there in into the park as opposed to through the center there. So.
Right, so there would have to be an adjustment on the number of vendors. You'd need that laneway open. And I think the false assumption was that there'd be planters all the way down where those barriers are, and that was never what I interpreted from that resolution.
So we just basically read in the rhetoric that goes on Facebook and all the other stuff, and people were saying that they're going to be planting here and planting there and everything
yeah.
else, and Jan basically went through the roof when she started hearing some of that stuff. So
I think from what I understood is that the only planters would be to prevent people from going through the pavilion. They'd be right at the pavilion. As far as going around to the side, I think that's where the new road would be. So you wouldn't have to go through there.
So if you wanted to save money and not put planters there, like we can restrict it, I put a picnic table there and stop everybody from going through there on market day, you know, type deal, just to, on those wet days to stop people from driving through there. So we can do the rope off, it doesn't matter. So
I think the idea was with a rope too, even pedestrians couldn't go into the pavilion then, so that might be
just to rope it off during market setup time so people can't drive in, and rope it off so when they drive
when
in
they leave.
At
okay.
the end of the market, you know, to deal so they can't drive out through that area.
Yeah.
And then basically in Jan's letters that go out to the vendors and stuff like that, she's basically got an agreement with the vendors, and through that agreement she could probably specify how they are to enter the park as opposed to going through the air too, so she can draw it out of there.
I know it's really tight. She's a large number of vendors. Everybody has to be in the right spot, but I'm thinking that might have to be opened up to the south side sort of thing so people can drive in that way, and so you wouldn't...
Typically what would happen, I can envision it already, so they would just drive in that one thing and just make a sharp turn at the end of the pavilion and head down the other way, so that we can accommodate that. So
That sound all right, Craig?
Over time we might be able to, if you want to use that one lane particularly to the right of the building, then perhaps between now and next year's market we can make it a better access for it.
You've already made it better access by putting that screenings down, because once it starts growing with the grass seed, it will be more than solid. So.
Yeah, the only thing we wanted to discourage, I guess, when the market's not on, we don't want people driving in there and camping overnight and that sort of thing. So I think that's why originally when the property was purchased, there were no roads in there. All the cottages were torn down, the cabins, and we tried to just turn a green space. But since the market's come along, and as you see, it's much more convenient now to take a vehicle in. So if we can accommodate that way to get to the site. We just don't want a major highway in there so people are going to think...
There's very few parks that allow vehicles in their parks, but like you say, this is a little more unique where you have basically trailers full of cargo going in there, it's kind of difficult to use a wagon to truck all that stuff in.
Jan has pride herself in that market. I know I spent countless times in there raking and cleaning up and everything else. You know, their deal is not something that we want to damage or see damage. And their deal, we take pride in it. And as we said, like, we're more than willing to work with council and on your decisions and how to move forward. So it's not like we haven't jumped through hurdles before in the last few years here. So we can jump through some more hurdles.
Okay, so we're discussion went well there, I think, and we had the resolution that's in front of us, and it's an understanding now of what's expected. So if there are any further questions. Okay, call the question then, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Now, I guess one question I should have said with that one. When's the October one coming up? That's fairly soon, Thanksgiving.
It's October 7th there, so, and...
Is it too late to implement for October, or should we look at this for next year sort of thing? Or do you think it should be immediate, in which case if the vendor is going to be...
I can implement it immediately, so...
Okay. I think since we've been alerted to it,
yeah,
we probably should react.
Yeah, so like I can basically put the picnic table across in front there just to stop people from driving through there on October 7th, so we can deal with it immediately. So.
Okay, great. I hope it's a sunshiny day.
I hope so too. So 61 vendors, I think, booked in for that day.
Is there 61?
Councilor Peck?
So is there consideration of putting some screenings down the length of the one side and sort of a horseshoe and then back up around the other side and then it's, the grass grows through eventually. Just we've been fortunate to have dry summers for the last couple of years, but we did have a couple of wet weekends that weren't extremely wet, but they did create, you know, wet spots within the park. So I'm just looking at if there ever is a wet summer, you know, now's the time to be proactive and to do something to ensure that you know, the screenings are put in place.
It's up to council.
Okay. Well, see, we've got this playground equipment there too, so I don't know.
Yeah, like you, how many vehicles you're going to want in there? Who's going to put the gate up? That's the problem with establishing a road.
Right.
People are going to drive in there.
Yeah.
As soon as you put the road there.
It's bad enough as it is. We'll get it all nicely after the summer. The market will look good. And then somebody will go and do donuts. So it happens.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just about every year.
Okay, so it sounds like your solutions.
Yeah, well, I think we can work with what Ralph was saying there. We can keep them to the right of the building. And we'll keep an eye on the soft spots. But I don't think we should establish it. A road, but Rob knows where the trail is. Yeah.
I wasn't really talking about establishing a road, but putting enough screening so that the grass does grow through, but it's building a bit of a base. Because you get, we've been fortunate to have, to think of some solution for when you get a wet summer, and then the vehicles driving through. When you have that many, if you have a wet summer and vehicles driving through, it does tend to make sort of the ground softer. But anyways, nothing to discuss now, but just a concern possibly.
Councilor Hassan.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, Ian, as per Chris's suggestion of having you put a planter to block vehicles from going through the gazebo, I don't think I would really agree with that. I think it's more welcoming to leave it the full width it is. I kind of visualize, you know, something plunked in the center there, it's like it's kind of just blocking it off to even human traffic kind of thing. So I think I'd still like to see it still.
Like a picnic table though for enter and exit.
You know what?
Something has to block it, otherwise people are going to go through.
Well, yeah, I think if picnic tables are left, maybe not right in front of the door, but obviously inside.
They're moved as soon as we open.
Yeah, as soon as you open it. Yeah.
But if there's ever an issue, you did need to use that.
Yeah. It could be done.
In an emergency situation, they can use that pavilion to get access to the park.
Yeah, that's right. If the emergency came along,
you don't want to block it off totally. You just don't want to have daily vehicle traffic going through there. But if there is an emergency, by all means, use it.
Yeah, and I think once the vendors all know that they're not to go through there, it doesn't appear to be something you drive into anyway, so I don't think there'll be an issue with anybody driving in there once the vendors are all well aware.
Greg can speak to it, but I haven't seen a vehicle other than market vehicles drive in there. So
yeah, that's right.
Like the only other vehicles I've seen is people going across the grass, you know, to deal with some pretty good set to do the donuts and whatever else those things.
Yeah, so I just thought I'd mention not to plunk something, a planter.
No, I don't think that was suggested by Chris, as you said.
Yeah.
Nothing has to be done. I think we're all done with solutions.
Yeah. You bet.
Okay, sounds good. Have regulate speed of motor vehicles. The
Yep.
So we're resolution 23-615, moved by Councilor Keckin, second by Councilor Haskin, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-66, being a bylaw to regulate the speed of motor vehicles on certain highways within the municipality, first and second reading. Discussion? Okay, so
I'll start this one. Just a couple of little question marks for me where I think the trouble is if people would do the speed that we're going to post that, it'd be wonderful, that kind of thing. But I know when you say, for example, that it'll be would be 50 going through Broadbent, well, everybody unfortunately thinks they can do 70 of that. You know, that's just the natural thing. So 70 is way too fast through there. So if they stayed with 50 is, I'm talking from McCord's Road to say Dickinson's Road, like, because it's a built up section that 50 is borderline. If you drive 50 through there, it, to me it seems like you're, for a built up area, you're at your very maximum. So some people, okay, so they're legal, you can do that, the bare maximum. I guess if they're going over, they shouldn't be, they're speeding, but we all know that 50 means 65. I'm just wondering whether that section should be one of the 40-kilometer areas.
Well, that's why we're discussing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just,
nothing's installed, and that's why it's over here now. So
yeah.
I
think I had mentioned it before that that from the Cords to Dickinson being a built-up area that I would lean more toward the 40 rather than the 50.
Just like the far end that's proposed for the far end of Herdville Road.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, yes, that's not a big issue. Yes.
If council's agreeable.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll put that out there too. The other one was too that you have, I guess it'd be all of Center Road would be 50 also.
Yes.
All right. Which unfortunately now I'm going the other way.
Yeah.
Now I was like, that is awful slow on those long straightaways.
Well, that's the problem though when people go down the straightaways. Like, I know on Balsam Road, they probably do 80. Once they get that straight stretch, they just fly.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you control it? We can't.
Yeah, the thing is, right now, they're pretty well all on 60, right?
Yes.
You
know, yeah.
That's what our signage is for.
Yeah.
And that's what the McDougal has done for McDougal Road. It's 60 through there, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering for consistency, and we already have the signage up. I guess the question is, why are we going to 50? For all of those main artery roads, why not keep them 60? Even that's a reduction from 80 that it used to be. So I'm just wondering, as far as cost too, because we'll have to get all new signs. And educate the public.
So this is to address a lot of the public's concern about the speed on the roads.
In certain areas, yes.
Which is just about every road.
That's true. Okay.
So we reduce it in one, you reduce it in an all, the whole thing. So if it's a 60, it's now a 50. If it was a 50, it's now a 40. We've done our part. It's,
yeah.
It, you know, it just hopefully helps everybody in the long run.
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes sense, Councilor Zubak?
So you don't have Bailey's in there or anything?
They're 20s.
Yeah, but shouldn't it be listed here?
Yeah, I guess
yeah.
It could be.
Actually, there are about 30 plus roads missing.
Oh, yeah.
I know you've concluded subdivisions.
Yeah.
But they probably should be individual roads.
Individually numbered, or named.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know I've also spoken with somebody on Lakeside, and they were saying that they would like, I imagine the people in there would like it to be 20, not 50, or 40, or whatever it's on. 40. Did you get any talk back from people
not from
in there?
Any lower than 40 yet.
Yeah.
No.
In Lakeside?
Yeah, not yet. I know they wanted it reduced,
yeah.
But I didn't hear any, but the number was.
Yeah, well, they were saying 20.
People are going to drive.
But know.
I mean, when it's up, we can, we're going to put up all these signs, and people are still going to drive however they're comfortable driving.
That's right.
Yeah, and there is a distinction in that one in particular. You got Lakeside Drive, then you got Lakeside Crescent.
Yes.
Which is slower, you would think. It's just a circle. But, and if you go into the dead end on the, what's that one now? Is that Lakeside Drive? Or is it,
Lakeside.
Is it, it's
yeah.
still part of the drive,
yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can, as you say, you can have three different speeds on one road. That's pretty hard for people to understand, too.
Yeah.
You could see, I guess, if you're slowing down and coming into a village, but to have a road that just continues and suddenly you're going from 40 to 30 to 20, they're going to get confused.
Yeah, the less we can do of that, I think the better, because people won't know what speed limit is. But what's involved in, I know with, like, say, Center Road, there's two corners, obviously, at Stewart's Park that are people slow down. Say if it was put at 60, can we put 40 for the corners kind of thing?
So I can put a, so you know the yellow and black signs?
Oh, excellent,
so
yeah.
This is, it's just suggestion, so it's not mandatory.
Okay,
so
suggestion.
It's like
okay.
what Herd Bill is right now, it's suggestion 40,
right.
not mandatory.
Okay.
40 with a corner, showing a corner, like sometimes they have like a...
The wiggly squiggly.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah I can get
yeah.
some of them too, yeah.
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 But I guess we'll delay the third reading then, Dave, are we?
Well, yeah, I think
yeah.
Like I say, I'd like to see all the roads on here so that they're all... And I guess the next step, of course, is to for signage, because that's what people are complaining about, too. And I don't know, on Lakeside as an example, again, we see this on Facebook, you know, where are the speed signs?
Right at the beginning of the road?
Yeah, at the beginning, yeah. But no more as you go in, and I guess that's...
I guess they forget when they
yeah.
go in the road.
No, but that's what I said before with your signage that you did on Lakeshore, which was good, the no parking. You put it all the way along. Although I did see a spot somebody did park in between two of the signs.
Yeah.
Oh, where did they get out to turn this?
But I'm wondering, is there, now it's provincial regulation, I guess, the Highway Traffic Act, for them, even our stop signs, we have to be of a certain nature for them to be legal. And I'm wondering about signage for speed, how often do they have to be posted? What kind of a distance?
1,100 meters. Depends on the speed of the road.
Right, okay.
So they're, so somewhere 1,100 meters. 1.1 kilometers. So it depends. 69 is a little different. After every intersection, there's going to be a speed limit sign. So it varies for each individual road.
Yeah.
Right now, Center Road and Herdville Road is pretty well exact where the signs have to be.
Okay.
Like really close. The side roads, not so much. Usually there's a sign at the beginning, one at the end, or partway through. Tate's Island, there's lots of signs. So, yeah, we can put more signs up. But there is
regulation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's regulations.
And I noticed that you mentioned Tate's Island. You seem to stop at one of them on here at Moffat Road. But Tate's Island Road goes right into park that doesn't go across the causeway. It's still called Tate's Island Road in that far, I think.
Tate's Island goes as far as... just the other side of the causeway.
Right.
Yeah.
But on here, I think you've got Tate's Island as a distance to...
south to Moffat Road.
Moffat Road, yeah. And then nothing from Moffat into Park. So that's why I wondered if it's, again, revised till it covers the full length of the road, rather than just...
It's kind of like driving through town and you've gone across three different names of the road, but you're still on the same road.
Yeah, well, I just wonder, like, there are sections that aren't even mentioned.
Well, yeah, there's lots of, so this is a first reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first
so,
and second, but.
Oh, first and second. Well, we haven't, yeah, whatever. But I don't think we're ready for a second. So, I,
yeah.
in my opinion. Because we could be looking at, like what Morley said, the
yeah,
perhaps changing sections. Center Road could get a suggested speed section versus a full reduction. That's what council wants.
Okay. It's good to get it started, I think.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, I was going to say, well, wouldn't it be better to defer it then and then
yeah, you can do that.
Do it all
it's not gonna make any difference whether it's a first reading or a deferral, so.
Then get it, you know, more
in line. We can name every road, I've already got the list, it's gotta change the numbers for speed limits, right? And some of them aren't listed at all because they never really didn't have a speed limit.
Yeah.
So it'd be no problem getting that list and throwing the numbers on it. But right now we're discussing what we want for numbers.
Yeah.
So if we're in agreement with Broadbent Road, you know, and the Herdville Road end of being different speed limits than a 50, if we want a 40 for those both ends, then that's what we'll do.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I've noticed some municipalities, they have signs that say, slow down, this is a residential neighborhood, slow down. I don't know if they have those, there's reduced speed limits in those areas, or that's what they're using to sort of advise.
We have similar. We have
like slow down children playing.
Yep.
I don't know, wonder if that those would be
better.
How effective they are.
Zero.
Zero. Yeah.
They're just more signs on the side of the road that
mm-hmm.
nobody pays attention to.
Well, I don't know. And who wants the road just cluttered up with all kinds of signs, really?
Oh, I don't know, but to make them legal.
Yeah.
That's what I say. If somebody comes back and holds the township legal or liable because of something that happened, that's when they start checking, well, where are these signs posted? So that's the other reason I question it.
For the speed limit signs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about extra signs in
yeah.
you know, residential area. And that,
yeah. yeah. I mean, we've got the big, nice big red ones and some small red ones, but they all basically say the same thing, slow down, children playing. I mean, what more do you want? Why else would you slow down? It's people on the road, right? But people still don't look at those signs. So, because we're still getting complaints about speeders on those particular roads, so they're obviously not reading the signs.
Yeah, it's happening everywhere.
So. Oh, it's not just here. It's every municipality.
Yeah.
Everybody's in a rush. It's just the same whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, Councillor Zulak talked about a deferral as opposed to first reading. What do people think of that?
Sure. Yeah, I'm fine with that, unless, you know, way we do. Obviously, what we got here isn't going to ever pass a third reading because we're going to alter ourselves. Just whether we want to do a first and second to at least put this out to the public just to see if we start getting comments. Rather, if we defer it, I guess it's just not.
Well, the thing is, if you go first and second, a lot of places that look at that, the third just for a couple little tweaks.
Right. Yeah,
and this is a major tweak.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna add a lot more roads, and yeah, for that reason, yeah, that's got a good idea.
Okay, call the question for a deferral. All those in favor? None opposed. Resolution 23-616, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Kekkonen, be resolved, Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-67, being a bylaw to appoint a bylaw enforcement officer, first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open council this 19th day of September 2023. Discussion? Call all the question, all in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 23-617 under new business 23.1. Okay, so the 23-617. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah.
moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby appoint Councillor Debbie Zulak as Council Representative and Council Mike Kekkonen as an alternative representative on the West Perry Sound Recreation and Cultural Center Joint Municipal Services Board for the present term of council. Further be it resolved that resolution number 22-483 Resolution number 22-530 be hereby rescinded. Finally, be it resolved that copies of this resolution be forwarded to the Joint Municipal Services Board, Township of the Archipelago, the Township of Carling, Municipality of McDougal, the Town of Perry Sound, the Township of Seguin, and the Municipality of Whitesun. Discussion? Origin of this is a request that we had for, you recall, the chair of the board to present at our public meeting on September 23rd, Saturday, and his refusal for a prior commitment. And his suggestion that the representative on the board for McKellar, which was me, should speak to it. My theory and the whole thing is that he has much more information than I do. The board has gone on for much longer than I've been on it. And that situation on Saturday, when we had the public meeting, I'd like to speak not as the representative of the board, but as the mayor of the township, as we try to receive more information and provide information that we're aware of that the public never received in the first go-around. And so my theory is, at this point, I can be more effective as the mayor running the meeting, since we don't have the chair or even a designate, which we asked for. Even that wasn't recommended, except that he designated me, I guess. That was his way of saying that we can control it ourselves. He has much more information, and unfortunately we're not going to hear it. The problem, of course, with the Recreation and Cultural Center Board is that much of what has gone on and is still continuing is in closed session. So that's why the resolution read that it would be public information that we have available to us that we would present to the ratepayers, which they never received back in 2021, I guess. There was no presentation. And so we're trying to do that, make them aware of what the original presentation said, and perhaps some changes that have occurred since. They should be aware of that. We've invited Clerk Administrator Ina to be there, and our Treasurer, Roshan, to give information, and opening it up with the Zoom link. I'm not sure what that is yet, but that'll be on the agenda that's put out. And I'd still like this meeting to occur to let our ratepayers know what the expectations are moving forward as far as costs. I know the RFP hasn't been put out yet for the actual construction. That's to come. The reason the meeting was held over so long, actually wanted it earlier in the summer, is that we're waiting for more information from the board, which never came. And we still don't have it. So I can't leave it much longer. I noticed that Carling has also asked for more information through the board for expectations, where they're at, because this is what breeds suspicion, unfortunately, the question that much of the information hasn't been made public. And I think that's what we're trying to do. We can't allay all the concerns of the public because we don't have all the answers yet. But at least we can provide what we do know. And they can ask questions. We can try to receive answers. We can go further. Our main concern, I think our main purpose in this is to find out or receive public input. Now people can, on the previous council, can speak to public input. I'm not sure if there ever was any. Referendum certainly didn't happen. And the public meeting wasn't organized. So this way, at least they've been told what we do know. And if they have any particular questions, they want us to go further, and we can investigate, etc. But it's nice to get the feedback. Moving forward, the township has to be aware of what the residents are thinking, what their suggestions are for future actions. I mentioned Carling one. They've asked through a resolution of theirs, request the Perry Sound Recreation and Culture Center Board to release an update on the progress of the pool and wellness center to the public. And that's what we're trying to do. And unfortunately, the chair can't be there, but we can still have a meeting releasing what information we have available. And look for direction. repairs from the electric. So that the resolution is so that I can speak not as as Chair Sanderson suggested, as a representative of the board, but as the mayor of the township, seeking information from the ratepayers. Because my understanding is that the board exists because of appointments from the councils of the different municipalities. That's what makes up the board, along with the non-elected chair of the board. So that's the reason it's out there. Needs a feedback, comments. Councilor Kay.
I think one thing that might be helpful is to a follow-up to Mr. Sanderson's response that he's not available on that date. If you could please provide the municipality with some dates that are suitable for him for a future opportunity for him to come and speak to the residents of McKellar Township.
I think that'd be great. It'll probably be through a deputation, but that'd be good. We can certainly arrange that if he's available. That would be more information from what we gather on Saturday.
I just wanted to give some information as well that I'd spoken to Clayton Harris and had advised him of the meeting, the public meeting going forward, and I explained to him my situation, that any information that is public information as a member of the steering committee, but not the chairman of the steering committee. I don't have any information unless it's information that's been approved by the board for public information. And I said, and I explained to him that the council here and the residents of McKellar are upset because they never got their public meeting to explain what was going on. I have not found any information yet. I've been digging through some electronic files. Apparently, he is saying that the Township of McKellar was offered a virtual meeting, public meeting, and that the council declined it. I have not found anything yet that says that the council declined a virtual meeting. And I know that it was during COVID, so that's a possibility, but I never once heard. I know that there was a public meeting and it got postponed, but I don't recall that there was ever an opportunity that the township was given again to have a virtual public meeting.
Well, that's called in the memory of people who were on that council.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that one. I can't remember how that unfolded.
Well, if he could provide that correspondence, then we can confirm if that's accurate or not. You know, if he had personal discussions with individuals who were on council, that's not an invitation to council.
Okay. And that's something that I can, that would be information I could relay, that if he's giving me documentation to say that, yes, the council turned it down, if I have that, then that's at least information that I can give to the public. I don't think it exists. I just don't think it exists.
So if you could provide that, and then we can see if it exists, who it was addressed to, and you know, why that wasn't brought before, or you know, then we can review if it ever came to council.
Yeah.
Councilor Zulak.
So you'll try and get that for the meeting.
Yeah.
I think as far as you say, closed sessions with the steering committee. But we're looking at procedure as well. You can inform the public of how it's organized. What questions go to the steering committee, and what do you work on, and how you report back to the board, that sort of thing. So it's more procedure, I think, than actual content.
And I'm certainly willing to take any questions the public have and bring it back to the steering committee.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And so at least then we're addressing their concerns. Because, I agree with Carlin. Something's got to come out really soon. Really soon. It's been too long.
Yeah, especially with the changes that have taken place since the original presentation. I think it was, people have to be aware of what they were presented, what they, well, I won't say they agreed to, but
mm-hmm.
what they were provided with, and what now exists.
Exactly, and that's the thing, is what was presented to the original councils is not what exists today. It's actually, it's a better scenario, but because
and maybe more expensive. Maybe more expensive.
No, I don't think so.
Well, okay, this is what we have to discuss inside.
For sure.
Because,
for sure.
Okay, any further comments on that?
Just on that meeting on Saturday, is it not possible to have it posted out on the sign out the front?
Yep.
Sure, that sounds good.
And did you think of anything about putting it on the radio?
I don't know. That's,
can you do that? Just on public
a good
announcements?
Way of
advertising. Yeah, on public announcements.
Yep. Yeah, I think the more widely it's advertised, the better.
Okay.
Yeah, or that'll be the next complaint. I never heard about it.
Yeah. Carl, do you know if it's on the board out there?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Because because I know you have to go through the thing. I just didn't know that it was on there.
And can we also have it put on? It's on. It was on. Is it on Facebook? Is it on Facebook?
I think it's on the website.
Yeah, it's on the website.
Can we put it on Facebook?
Yep.
Yep.
Or McCullough Free Speech? Or?
Well, the township has a Facebook site.
Yes, we can post it on the township's Facebook site. We won't post it in McCullough Free Speech, but if someone wants to share there,
okay.
That's okay.
Yep. I'm just trying to think and get as many out there.
And the MLCA sends out notices once in a while, like their news updates. And they claim to have 850 members that regularly review their updates.
Okay. Sounds good. Any further discussion? Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Any committees you've been to, workshops? Be quiet. Yes, council.
I'm just wanting to know if Carly, did you get a response from all of council for the municipal meeting?
Attending.
Okay.
Resolution 23-618, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Haskam. Be it resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from there to discuss? I noticed 25.6. I believe Carlin has now also passed a resolution. They're not supporting any form of area study and does not support amalgamation. So at this point, I think the only township or town that's supporting amalgamation through resolution that I've seen is Perry Sound. I think there are resolutions on the books. To be honest, I haven't seen Archipelago. Maybe they have one, I don't know. Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Question and comment period related to items on the agenda, either in person or from Zoom. Going once. Going twice. And resolution 23-619, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-66, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open Council this 19th day of September 2023. All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar adjourned this meeting at
9:24
p.m. We meet again on September 23rd, 2023 for a special meeting of Council to discuss the Westbury Sound Area Recreation and Cultural Center. More at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.